I'm getting completely set free. So, you know, people introduced you at a young age to pornography. People introduced you. You saw something you shouldn't have seen. Maybe you were molested. Whatever it is, maybe you just had those spirits that were iniquity, so you felt unclean and dirty from the day you can remember. And we've done a lot of this teaching on unclean spirits go, perverted pleasure, and the one on marriage. All of those cover this in more detail. But I really believe we've never talked specifically on the spirit that goes with loving self. And that would be, instead of God in charge of awakening your love. And he's going to do that right when you find the right person and right when he gets excited about being married to them. And it's going to be all about sharing life with them, not about sexual gratification. The counterfeit is Satan stirs up that sexual desire. And then he brings it to a place of perversion to mock what God has made. We're going to call that spirit, as we just give it carnal characteristics, an erotic spirit. And we want to get rid of it. Now, some of you, I know, have not given into this thing for years, or it's about dead in you or whatever. But if you've never really renounced it, and you still, well, sometimes you'll still have thoughts, you'll still feel something unclean trying to get a hold of you, you know, and if you go, draw close to the Lord, this thing's going to come in and try to bring shame on you. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Nobody's saying yes. No, I don't understand. See, if you're all the teenagers, we say, okay, everybody come up, because we know none of you need it. But just in case there's one person here who might need this, we're all going to come up together. we're all smarter than that, aren't we? All right, I really believe that the devil's been trying to bait you back into pornography, or bait you back into unclean sex, or still try to get you to fantasize, or be tempted to watch a movie you shouldn't, or something you shouldn't. This is the spirit that we want to destroy. So we're going to do this tonight. We're going to get rid of this thing tonight. We're going to hate this thing tonight. And we're going to recognize it came in. This particular spirit came in. And when we became lovers of self, when we began to be self-absorbed and self-important and all those kind of things. So we're going to deal with that one. The next one, money lovers. We've talked a lot about greed back there. But money lovers is a real spirit where you think money's going to solve your problems. You think if you had more money, you'd be able to do whatever you wanted. You know, Lord just told me recently, he said, Cindy, if I gave you more money, that would not, more money is not what you need to do the ministry I've called you to. He said, to do the works that I have for you to do for my glory, you get the plan and I'll give you the resources. You get the plan from me, and then I'll give you the resources. You're looking for the resources to come, and then you'll make the plans. I don't work that way. So people who love money think that money would be their answer. They think, boy, if I could just win this, or if I could just have that, or if I just had that opportunity, instead of recognizing who God is, God, if I sell out to do your will, if I cry out to do the works that glorify the Father, if I totally come to you for all my needs to be met, and I trust you as my Savior, my Redeemer, everything that I need, my Creator, then God, of course, doesn't it just make sense that if God gives you a plan of action to fulfill the call on your life, or to, which is anything, call on your life could be going, you know, to work at the post office. It's not about us. Everything is spiritual with God, all right? So do you understand? So if God says, I want you to do this, and I've trained you up to do this, and you've got the gifting and talent to do this, don't you think he's going to give you the money to do it? Unless you're a lover of money. If you're a lover of money, that idol can stop you from getting the finances you need. And you need to come to the Money Matters conference. We got an entire economic kit back there that really goes over this. It's like 24 CDs for $75 that really covers a lot of this, because I had to really learn this when I bought a $500,000 building that needed $200,000 in things before the city will let us in here. And that was with like $200 in the bank. You know, that kind of threw me into a, oh my God, what have I done? Help, help. I died. A lot of me died. I thought, oh God, what have I done? It was easy in my house. What are we, crazy? We're crazy. I'm going to ruin everybody's life, not just mine. Boy, that would be very thinking so highly of yourself. Everybody's life. You only got 40 people going there. You're going to ruin everybody's life. So anyway, so he taught me that. That's on those tapes. But you need to get rid of this love, money lover. Braggart. And we got teaching on that. Arrogance. Bragging is boasting, exalting yourself higher, exaggerating things about your life. And depending on how much this is your resume, this can take on a whole fantasy life of its own. Over-exaggerating. Well, I guess any exaggerating is over, isn't it? Why can't you just say like it is? How many people are really at your church? How big is your business for real? How much money did you really make? Why do we have to exaggerate? How big is your house if anybody cares? Do you care if anybody cares? You know, where's your self-esteem tied up in that? Deal with this stuff. Arrogant. We have a whole teaching on arrogant. Arrogant is a counterfeit of boldness. Arrogant is a counterfeit of boldness. It's you just getting in people's face and saying what you think, and nobody's going to tell you what to do. It's part of arrogant is a fruit of high-mindedness. Boldness is a fruit of the Spirit. We've got a teaching on that one, so I'm not going to get that. Disobedient to parents. Can you see in the end times where this does sound like a lot of the kids and a lot of what you see and a lot of what you hear? Boy, we are really coming to the end times. We need to get this out of our hearts so we can have authority to pray for our children, to pray for our generation, and to really have authority. Plus, we want to be pleasing to God. So disobedient to parents, you'll need to allow God. You may have to take some of this home this week and go over this list and say, God, show me where I was disobedient to parents. Help me to get free from that. What was in my heart? What was I rebelling from? Unthankful. Well, everybody owes me everything. Nobody owes you anything. And God's already made the way for you to have everything. Unthankful is more of an excuse, more of a pity party, more of a, well, you just don't understand, you know, if I just, nothing ever works out right for me. You know, the Bible says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise. If you're unthankful, you will find yourself having a really hard time entering into the presence of God. Unthankfulness will keep you out of the presence of God. Jesus is very serious about this. You can study this. I'm sure we have tapes on it somewhere back there. But when those lepers were healed, what was it, only one who returned to thank him? And he made a comment, where are the others that I healed? Don't forget what God has done for you. And look at the tapes called Negate. There's one teaching back there on Negate. Negating is a spirit. It's a spirit that takes away. It basically keeps you bad ground. Because the Bible says the seed falls and you're all excited for a little while. But then something comes along and then he steals that seed because it doesn't go deep. In the parable of the sower. So what you want to do is start getting good ground. I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to thank you, Lord. And you need to ask God to get unthankfulness out of your heart. You need to praise him. You need to thank him every day. You need to mean it. And you need to stop the devil. When the devil says in your brain, well, you know that didn't work. You need to say, well, number one, devil, if it didn't work, you'd be the last one to tell me. You're a liar anyhow. So I just believe it did work. I believe any time that I do what the Lord chose me to do, it works. It may not be what I expected right then. I tell him, don't come up for a prayer here or anywhere else and the power of God touch you and not expect something to change. If you don't get exactly what you were wanting right then, oh, well, all I know is the devil didn't like getting zapped by the power of the Holy Spirit. The devil doesn't like me humbling myself and coming up to get free. The devil doesn't like me confessing with my mouth truth. So quit this love with conditions thing on God. Say, God, well, if you really love me, you'll heal me now. Well, he doesn't go for that. He really loves you whether you ever, if you never understand it, it won't change that he really loves you. But one thing about God, you can't say, prove it to me. Because he'll say, look at Calvary. It's finished. Look at Calvary, it's finished. Anything that you don't think that God is faithful, and you're not grateful about is because you bought a lie and you don't understand who he is. You don't understand how unbelievable faithful he is and how much you just didn't even know him yet. All right. Unholy. Oh, Lord. Unholy means those things that aren't holy. How hard is that one? What's holy? You know, holy really is those things that would be in heaven. Those attitudes, those, that thinking, the way you would handle yourself. The thing, be holy for I am holy, says the Lord. You want to know what holy looks like? Look at Jesus. Go study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see, did Jesus cuss? No, his yes was yes and his no was no. Guess what? Cussing's unholy. Did Jesus flirt with the women? Did he put on some holier than thou thing? No, he was God, and yet he humbled himself and took on the role of a servant. That's holy. True servanthood is holy. You want to know what holy looks like? Really go look at Jesus. You say, well, what about when he called the Pharisee vipers? It was holy because he was being led by the Father to declare what was going on in a way to shake them to a place of repentance. So I'm just saying that so you don't think that holy is just this poor little, meek little, oh, I can't do anything, you know, bold. I can't do it. That's not who Jesus was. So don't get holy confused with weak. This is all 2 Timothy 3. You may have a few different definitions here, but this is actually the literal, which you can go on eSword and download and have your very own. It's an awesome way to study the word. All right. Look at this one. Without natural feelings. What does any of yours say something different there? So it's not being able to love people that you should be able to love, like your mother, your father, your children, your spouse. Just the natural affection that people have who don't even know God. It's amazing. I like that it said affection because I really don't believe you can have real love without Christ. God is love. And unless you really have God in your life, you really can't really give love, but you can give natural affection. You can give natural affection. And so he's saying it's going to get so bad that some people won't even have natural affection. It's already gotten that bad. Some of you have walked in that bad. Some of you are still walking there. God wants to set you free. Natural, and if you never received natural affection, then you could judge that and that could come into your life. You might not even, if you had perversion or molestation, then you have the wrong idea of what natural affection is. And then you cross over into that whole erotic thing. And then you have this sexual perversion mixed in with everything to do with relationships and affection. Satan is very good at making a mess, isn't he? Thank God that Christ died to set us free. Thank God that he died to set us free. And thank God we can finally enter into a place to deal with this stuff without shame. He carried the shame. Whatever thing on here is on your resume still, it's there because Satan put it there. And it can be erased because of the blood of Christ. It's not there because you're so horrible. It's not there because you're worse than everybody else. It's not there because, no, it's there because Satan knows what he's doing and he chose to target you and he chose to attack you and he knows how to do it. But it has been, you have been set free from it by the blood of Christ. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank you, Jesus. You can set me free. Well, I've tried and tried. That's the problem. You can't set yourself free. This isn't a love with conditions. God, if you just set me free, I'll serve you. I mean, people give their testimony and boast about that. Well, I just told God if he would just deliver me, I'd serve him the rest of my life. You should serve God the rest of your life only when you know how to receive his unconditional love and then his power comes and then you've been empowered by his love to go and serve him the rest of your life. We applaud things that are based on love with conditions. I was tested. When my daughter died, I was really tested. Was there love? Did I have love for God based on conditions? Did I think now he doesn't love me? Did I think now I can't love him anymore? Boy, that was the real test. The real test is, what are you going to do with this? Well, thank God for God. Thank God he'd been training me and teaching me and showing me his ways. Thank God the first thing I knew, Satan did this and not God. I knew to ask him, God, what happened? Show me, because I know you didn't do this. I know Satan's defeated. That means I missed it. There's no condemnation in you, Lord Jesus. Show me what happened, and he did. But folks, we got to quit throwing stones. We got to quit judging. The enemy is so fierce. He is so hateful. You know, my prayer is that everyone will begin to hate the devil so much that you will not tolerate or give in to any of his stuff anymore. You will go screaming to the cross. You will go screaming. If you got to fast and cry and lay down and don't even go to work for a few days and beg God to deliver you, because you want nothing to do with evil. You want nothing to do with evil, because evil is evil. Not because you got caught. Not because somebody might find out. But because it's evil. I hate sin because it's evil. And do you know what? God shows me something in my heart. I am so thankful, because I want to be completely sanctified and holy. I want to be the bride without spot or blemish. I really, really do. I really enjoy it when I get to be free. It's new at first. What do you mean? I don't want to deal with this stuff. But man, it's like taking something out that doesn't belong there. It's that heavy weight that holds you back and saying, you know what? This is not me. Now, you don't have to, don't get weird and spend your life going, where am I bad? Where am I horrible? Don't worry. Just ask God to sanctify you, and he'll show you these things. He'll point to these things. He'll bring these things up to you. And then when he does, let him deal with it. He's not asking you to deal with it. He's asking you to agree with him. God, I agree with you. This erotic thing is a perversion of the passion that you stir in people. And I don't want it anymore. I see, I got it back when I was a teenager. I got it when I was a young kid. I got it when I was molested. I got it when this happened or that happened. I got it when, you know, I looked at this or I saw that thing on TV. And God, I get it now. I see it now. That is something to make me love myself in a perverted way, which isn't love at all. It makes me feel horrible, and it's ruining relationships. And I don't want my kids to get this thing through the line of iniquity. And God, you died because of this thing. And I hate it and I don't want it. Set me free, God. Then he does the set me free part. You just have to ask and agree with him. All right. Look at this next one. Boy, these are really bad, aren't they? Unyielding. Some people brag about being stubborn. These are part of the end time characteristics of a people that are going to get so hard that the Gentiles are all going to come in, and things are going to really speed up as we enter into the place where it's the season for the Jews again. The church is going to be raptured somewhere in all this. And God is then going to pour out his wrath and judgment, because this is the resume of what people are going to be. And we can see this. Let's get out of our hearts so we can also help others get free. All right, slanderers. Slanders, we have a whole teaching on that. It's talking bad about somebody. It can be done through hearsay. It can be done through little innuendos. Oh, did you hear? Oh, you didn't hear? Oh, I won't say anything. Slander is an intention to ruin that person's character, an intention to lie about that person. We got teaching on all of these things in more detail. I just want to look at this resume here. Without self-control. That's lust. That's, I couldn't help myself. How do you, that thing I talked about, this erotic nasty thing, that will cause you in that area to not have self-control. You could have no self-control in the area of different kinds of addictions. And so you want to just go before God and say, God, give me the fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control. Show me where I'm compulsive. Show me where I'm impulsive. Show me where I just have a spirit that causes me to have to do something, you know, makes a habit of something. God, I don't want that thing. I want self-control. I want to be able to think through a thing and be led by you and say no to things. God, get that out of my heart where I can't say no. Break the authority of that. savage is like someone who acts like an animal. You know, these horrible things we're hearing in the news. People, oh my gosh, it's horrible. Virginia Tech, somebody just beheaded a lady right in one of the student lounges. The guy she was dating just cut her head off right in the student. They sure kept that one quiet at Tech. But that just happened a few months ago. There was somebody else on a bus, like within the same couple of weeks, who cut somebody's head off on a bus. I think it was in Canada.